the police reporter. Reporter brings you a strange story that reads like fiction. Nevertheless, it is true in every detail.
About 15 years ago, a middle-aged man named Michael de Tenye walked into the offices of the largest insurance company in Budapest. He refused to state his business to the clerk and insisted on seeing the manager.
How do you do, sir?
Are you the manager?
Yes, but I'm much too busy to talk to policyholders who have no special business with me.
But I have business with you. Business which may save you a lot of money if you listen.
Well, of course, that's quite different. Sit down.
Thank you.
Now, what is it?
My name is Michael de Tenye, and I'm insured with your company for approximately $25,000.
That's quite a considerable amount, sir.
Yes, and mine is a double indemnity policy.
Oh, I see. One of our policies which pays double indemnity for a natural death. Is that it?
Yes.
Well, what is it you want, sir?
I want you to give me $12,000 and take back your policy.
You want to... What, do you mind saying that again?
I want to sell this policy back to you for $12,000.
Well, now I don't see how that's possible, Mr. de Tenye.
No? Not when I'm offering you a good business proposition?
Even if it were a good business proposition, I could not accept it. It's against the rules.
Then I'd advise you to change the rules. Because that policy is all I have in the world, and my family are going to collect on it.
You mean if we don't give you the $12,000, you'll commit suicide?
Certainly not. Do I look simple-minded? My family receives nothing on this policy if I commit suicide.
I'm glad you understand that. That's quite correct.
But if I die an unnatural death, they collect $50,000. That's correct too, isn't it?
It is.
Then unless you give me the money I've asked for, I'm going to die an unnatural death. And you'll be the loser by $38,000.
My dear sir, how can anyone deliberately set out to die an unnatural death? It's impossible. How do you propose doing it?
That's my business. Now, do I get the $12,000 or don't I?
As I've told you before, your proposition is absolutely against our rules. We can do nothing for you.
Then you won't even consider it?
I'm sorry, most emphatically not.
That's all I have to say, then. At least I've warned you.
And you may believe me, sir, we'll heed your warning. And when your death is reported, if it is, we shall investigate thoroughly and see if there's anything at all suspicious. And if it looks like fraud in the least way, your heirs will have difficulty in collecting.
When my death is reported, rest assured there'll be no doubt in your mind about its being unnatural.
My good man, you can't bluff this company into paying.
Bluff? You'll find this is no bluff. Watch the papers for the next few days. And don't forget my name. It's Michael de Tenye. Good day, sir.
The next evening, in a gay cafe, we find Michael sitting with a companion, a wealthy man about town. The friend is slightly drunk.
And would you believe it, he was found the next morning lying in a pool of his own blood.
Oh, will you please stop talking about death? That's all you've done since we met tonight.
Why should I?
Well, because it's not a subject to keep harping on all the time. No?
Well, what's the matter? Aren't you insured?
Sure, certainly I'm insured. For $50,000.
No.
Yes, sir. With one of the best companies, too.
Which one?
The Central Europe Life Assurance Company.
Well, well. That's the same one I'm insured with.
Really? What does that make us, huh?
Brothers in death, my friend.
You make me sick with your death. I'm going home.
You don't like my company?
Not tonight, Michael, I don't, no. I came out to enjoy myself, to spend a pleasant evening, and all I've heard from you is death and insurance.
No, Henry, don't run away.
Well, you promise you won't talk about it anymore, hmm?
All right, I'll promise if you'll stay. Do you mind if I talk about insurance?
Well, if you must, you must. It's not as gruesome as the other anyhow. Go ahead.
How would you like to have your wife collect your $50,000 insurance right now?
Not a chance. Not a chance. No, I'm not sick, and I expect to live for a long time yet.
Well, how do you know I'm not going to kill you?
I don't know, but... But if you did, my wife would collect $100,000.
Oh, so you've got a double indemnity clause for unnatural death in your policy, too.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to do you a favor. Mm-hmm. I'm going to kill you.
Yeah. Oh, don't do me those kind of favors.
And incidentally, do myself a favor, because then I'll hang and my wife will get double indemnity, too.
Really? Won't that be nice, huh?
I think so.
Cheerful little fellow, ain't you? I'm going home.
No, you're not. You're not going home tonight.
But my wife would be awful mad if I don't go home. I got to go, yeah.
No, you're not.
You can't stop me.
Yes, I can.
How?
I'm going to kill you.
Michael, I'm sick and tired of listening to your foolishness. You wouldn't
this
do anything...
This isn't foolishness. And you've heard the last you're going to hear in this life, my
put
friend.
Put that gun down, you fool. Put that gun down. You can't...
So long, my friend.
You can't...
I'll
don't,
be
don't,
seeing you soon.
Don't do anything like...
Michael Detenier was arrested immediately, and later in his cell, a visitor is brought in to see him. It's the manager of the insurance company.
Mr. Detenier, you remember me, don't you?
Well, yes, of course. You're the manager of the insurance company.
Yes, yes. I want to help you.
Help me? How can you help me?
I want to get you a good lawyer.
Oh, no, you don't. I'll defend my own case.
Well, they'll hang you if you do.
I hope they do.
You mean you want to hang?
Not particularly. But it's better than going on living without hope or money.
Oh, come now. Let me get you a good lawyer. We may be able to free you of this charge.
How can I be freed? I shot a man in cold blood. Shot and killed him in front of 100 witnesses.
A good lawyer can always find a way, you know.
He may be able to save me from the gallows. But supposing I should draw a life sentence?
Even a life sentence would be better than death, wouldn't it?
Not for me, it wouldn't.
Then you won't accept my offer?
I made you an offer once, remember? You turned my offer down, and now I'm refusing yours.
You're doing a very foolish thing.
It's very kind of you to want to help me, but I'd rather you wouldn't. If I die, at least I leave my family provided for, since your company will have to pay them $50,000.
So, all this is just a scheme to cheat us.
I'd hardly call it that. After all, I'll be able to cheat your company only once this way.
You'll not succeed, not even this once. You've already cost us $100,000 with your murder. And if the jury brings in a hanging verdict, it'll cost us another $50,000.
It's too late to cry now.
I didn't think you'd do anything as rash as all this.
Well, it's done. Now get out of here and leave me alone.
You're not hanged yet.
But I will be.
You think so, do you?
Yes.
Don't be so sure of yourself. If everything else fails, we may be able to do something with the judge or the prosecutor.
You mean bribe them to influence the jury so that they'll imprison me for life?
Such things have been done.
I shall remember that at my trial.
A few weeks later, Michael Detenier stood trial for the murder of his companion.
And you offer absolutely no defense for this terrible deed?
No, sir.
You mean that you killed your friend without reason or excuse?
Yes, sir.
Your Worship, this man is insane.
No, I'm not, Your Worship. I'm perfectly sane. If you don't believe it, let your experts examine me.
Then you must have been drunk.
I wasn't drunk. I knew exactly what I was doing.
But there must be some extenuating circumstances.
There was nothing of the kind. We were sitting at a table in the cafe when I pulled my revolver and shot him.
On the spur of the moment?
No! I fully intended to kill him when I made the engagement to go out with him.
And you had absolutely no motive?
No, sir.
Oh, such an act is unheard of.
Mr. Prosecutor.
Yes, Your Worship.
Are you trying to defend the prisoner or prosecute him?
Your Worship, how can I possibly prosecute this man when he refuses to defend himself?
It's an unusual case, Mr. Prosecutor. And I can only warn the defendant that he is doing nothing to help himself.
But I am, Your Worship. I'm doing everything I possibly can.
As nearly as I can see, you're doing your utmost to put your head in the noose.
Yes, Your Worship.
But why?
I don't want to live. Life holds nothing for me.
So you want to die, huh?
Yes, I do. Do you think I have no heart or conscience? Don't you think I'm sorry for what I've done? Oh, why do you have to torture me? Can't you let me pay my full debt to society and be done with it?
If you're so anxious to die, why haven't you committed suicide?
It didn't suit my purpose.
And shall I tell this court why it didn't suit your purpose? Because if you had committed suicide, your family couldn't collect on your insurance policy.
Since you're so anxious to tell the court the why of everything, perhaps they'd be interested in hearing why you so persistently refuse to prosecute
me. I object, Your Worship.
It's because the insurance company has made it worth your while not to.
Gentlemen, I consider these matters entirely irrelevant to the case in hand.
I'm sorry, Your Worship.
Proceed, Mr. Prosecutor.
Will the clerk please read the prisoner's last relevant answer?
I don't want to live. My life holds nothing for me.
Well, Detainee, since you object to the vigor of my attack, I'll attempt to make it more to your liking.
Thank you.
You just mentioned that you don't want to live. Perhaps your victim wasn't as willing to die as you are.
He wasn't. He wanted to live.
And you shot him down in cold blood?
Yes.
You coldly, calmly planned the murder of your friend, then carried the plan into execution. You've admitted no motive, no reason for this act. But you say you're sorry and you want to die. I sincerely hope the gentlemen of the jury will grant your wish. That is all.
Michael Detainier thanked the jury for a hanging verdict, smiled when the judge sentenced him, and was extremely happy when the hangman prepared him for the gallows. Needless to say, Michael's family collected double indemnity.
You have just heard another dramatization by the police reporter. Watch for his next story from this station. This is a radio release production.